move on to reports by other board members. Mr. Jeffries, is there anything else about that meeting that you wanted to share with us, or Dr. Hunter? I know that you were there also.
No.
Yeah, I just want to say I do feel that...
Did you show up? I thought you
were
there.
Yes, I was there.
She was there.
Yes. I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to hail everyone, but I came in and stayed until noon, and I was there long enough to hear comments from a number of folks, including Mr. Jeffries, and I was very disappointed in their reaction, and I wanted to comment on that as well, and I'm glad that Allison has that opportunity to make some inroads, because I don't see any productivity in continuing an adversarial exchange when really what needs to happen is a solution needs to be developed that is going to move this situation into new arrangements, frankly. And the old power arrangements that seem to be still, you know, kind of dominating this situation, hopefully will start to dissipate. But, you know, I felt it was a gesture on our part to convey, in the interest of cooperation and the interest of finding a solution, that we attended that meeting, and I thought that they were being very short-sighted in cutting off Mr. Jeffries' comments. But in any case, those are my thoughts.
Can I just add something really quick?
Of course.
That letter that we produced for the hearing, our comment letter, has been circulated pretty widely, and actually the people at that round table were talking about it and requested that we send it to them. So I think...
Send it to who?
The California Roundtable.
Right.
All of the participants of the Roundtable wanted to see copies of the letter. Some of them had seen it already. So I think all the things that we've done are going to pay off. You know, it may not be obvious right away, but...
It had a benefit,
yeah,
you think, even
yeah.
though...
I think in that hearing, and Salinas, there was just a lot of misunderstanding that they didn't understand that our two paths are going to cross and how they were going to have to cross. And how it was going to work out, because Mr. Jeffries could, Chairman Young could reiterate a little more. Maybe not, I don't know. You know, just on the misunderstanding between.
I have been also involved in this from, you know, the board's perspective and in contact with state water board members. And I'm trying to get them up to speed with what our concerns are. And in that process, I've learned that there wasn't a complete understanding of what our issues were and our concerns were. And after a little bit of talking and discussion, they've become to appreciate where we're coming from and what our concerns were. They certainly want to, and this goes beyond the state board, but other people I've spoken to above the state board level certainly want to advance both the ag interest as well as the water quality interest, and it was never their intent that the water quality interest would be subjugated to this ag interest. So we're trying to get that worked out also, and I'm hopeful that it's going to happen, but time will tell. Dr. Press.
Since we're in the report to the board, I'd like to point out that there's a Diana Stewart is here from Environmental Studies at UC Santa Cruz. Diana is a doctoral student who just advanced to candidacy. That is to say, she's clear to do her research. What's her research on? It's on the conflict between food safety and water quality in this region. She produced, along with some other members of researchers at Santa Cruz, an important sort of white paper on food safety and water quality that the board then sent out along with its letters on this issue. So that's another reason why people like her should be invited to conferences like that, because she's studying precisely how scientists are doing they're doing the coordinated research, and I think her findings are going to be very useful to all the parties involved. So there she is. So now you know who she is.
Yeah, and that research that she's done has been really valuable in helping clarify some of the what's known about wildlife impacts, and I think that's going to continue to be important.
Allison also set up a web page on our website that includes all the information that we have so far about this issue. So it's a place, a one-stop shopping place for people to go to get information on the issue.
Okay, John, I see you packing up your bags, but you can't go without me. Okay. Dr. Hunter.
I have a question.
Sure.
Regarding SEPs, Supplemental Environmental Projects. I know we've funded a few over the last year, and I hesitate to ask for, an update as in the form of another report, but I just wonder how and when do we know the success or, kind of how that program is going. I, for one, think it's a very promising way to roll back fines or penalties into, solutions. And I think we only hear about them if there are problems. So I'm wondering about hearing some of the outcomes on a more balanced way.
In the next EO report, we can provide you with a spreadsheet showing the...
Oh, I'd really like that.
...all the SEPs that were funding and have funded and their status.
Yeah, and it would be nice to see a running total, mm-hmm. see where we stand.
Monica, just so you know, I have a couple of proposals in to various state research funding agencies, UC state funding agencies, to study precisely that. So if we get funded, we'll be working with the board and other boards to go into some depth about where they are, who's using them, what are they using for, and how have the projects fared, and so on.
We have to have John Robertson talk to you, Dr. Press, because he's also working on showing the information where the money goes and what happens, the tangible results in a spatial context using it in a GIS sense, so we can see what. As a regional perspective, regional success, how much money is going into an area and what's actually happening.
Right. Well, Lisa McCann knows I'm doing this. And so hopefully I'll get funded and then I can, have a ton of students come down on you and mm-hmm. get all that information.
Okay. And also it's a timely question because Reed Sato, who heads up the enforcement unit, recently asked us for comments on the enforcement plan, the state's enforcement plan, which currently allows SEPs. And there has been a lot of talk over the past few years about eliminating that option. And so our input is going to be to not only keep it, but expand it, because we like it. Some regions do not, and some folks at the state board do not. They believe that they're not getting a lot of value out of them, or they're very hard to track. The oversight is too much, and we think that there are very straightforward ways that we can deal with that, such as transferring the oversight to organizations that are more than willing to do it, to do that oversight. But there are some legal challenges there in doing that.
Well, let me suggest, as you're speaking, I'm thinking about various ways in which these things can occur. But, for example, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has a foundation that is a nonprofit that, mm-hmm. handles the grant administration. And mm-hmm. I don't know where their money's come from, and I don't know what the parallels might be. But there are other instances where government programs have, I think, state parks or U.S. parks, National Parks, also has a foundation, and that may be a way. The thing that I like about it, of course, and I'm sure you agree, is that it allows us to direct funds to the priority issues.
Here.
And,
All right.
And not see it go elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.